Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the presentation of the Q2 results 2019 of SFC Energy AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Dr. Peter Podesser, CEO, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Sandra, for the introduction. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking the time to join our Q2 and half-year results call here today. Together with Gerhard Ehninger, we will be happy to report on the second quarter as well as the half-year results. As usual, we will start highlighting some key elements, but then also go into the details, especially of the business part and the financial results. As always, we will be happy to answer your questions after our presentation. Let me start with some key highlights. Well, the overall picture, we are seeing consolidated sales of approximately 31 million euros here for the first half year of 2019, which reflects a slight growth here compared to 2018. We also see adjusted EBITDA at approximately 2.2 million euros and adjusted EBIT at approximately 580,000 euros. I think what we can say here is we are exactly hitting our expectations, and we are on target for the year. If we now look into, let's say, the various elements to it, I think it is clear that the growth here is driven by two of the segments, Clean Energy and Mobility, as well as the Industry segment. What we see there is, at the end, investments bear fruits, investments of the last year. We see a good distribution here in terms of customers as well as regions, and we feel a healthy growth pattern. If we look into the core parts of our Defense & Security business, I think we are clearly taking the next step here in internationalizing our defense business. This part, in the first six months of the year, accounts for more than 70% of the business, also reflecting a lower dependency on the national market. What were the key projects here in the first six months? Well, one of them, definitely the introduction and the buildup of our hydrogen products offering. We are fully on track here, maybe slightly ahead. Just this morning, I was down there on the production floor. We are completing our production facility as we speak. We have started to get a full grip on the supply chain, and the expectation here is pretty simple. First production end of Q3, and then real launch of the product here in Q4. As published before and as discussed before, the key market, the initial market here is clearly critical infrastructure here, telecom being part of this. Naturally, we want to open up also to other applications and markets, including clean mobility applications. The other big project here in the first six months, and definitely Gerhard will go into more details of this, is the successful completion of a capital measure of our capital increase. Very pleased with the interest here from new investors, but naturally also our current shareholders reflected in the acceptance rate here on this subscription ratio of our rights issue. Gross proceeds of 27 million will not only give us a stable balance sheet here pressing ahead, but simply enable us to do what we told people we were going to do with the proceeds coming in, means accelerating our growth in various areas. A, the regional rollout and organic growth here, key areas, US and selected markets in Asia, India and China to name the most important ones, including new products being prepared. I mentioned the hydrogen platform already, but naturally also our next generation of EFOY, which we call 3.0, to come to the market here in 2020. Build-up of hydrogen already mentioned, and the third element where it makes sense and where it helps us to grow faster or get market access, we are already evaluating add-on acquisitions here, and we are confident to, let's say, see results in this area also in the foreseeable future. Let us now look into the sales development, the revenue development here in the first 6 months. I mentioned already just a slight growth here of a percentage point here, or approximately a percentage point up to 31 million, which at the end, if you look at it, looks like, well, flat development. I think we really have to take into consideration that last year, first half or respectively first quarter was naturally positively impacted by a large order to a German defense customer in the amount of 3.6 million. Netting this out, this would leave us with an approximate growth here of 13%. But I think that's, I'd say, more the theoretical part of it. Let's look into the segment and then really do a clear analysis what has been achieved and where we are in our way to the targets of 2019. To start with oil and gas, as clearly reported and when we published our Q1 numbers, we expected and we also have seen a slight and sustained slowdown in momentum, especially in our Western Canadian oil and gas segment since the start of the year. Key drivers here for hesitance on the investment side is simply the lack of pipeline capacity that translates into a pressure onto the Western Canadian oil price, which has a differential to the West Texas Intermediate, and more so uncertainties still being there for current approvals in the works here for further pipeline capacity does not help here in this respect. Besides the usual seasonality here, Q2 being always the slowest month here in this part of the business, we also saw an extremely harsh winter last winter, and this translated to, let's say, a late breakup or a long and late breakup season. What does this mean? This simply means that the certain areas of explorations were not accessible here until, well, even end of May timeframe. So an additional factor here. But if we look into the numbers, yes, well, this and this was no surprise to us, led to a slight decline by 2.2% year on year in revenues here from 12.2 million euros approximate to 11.9 million. Going forward, we are still cautious here in our assessment of Q3. And for Q4, I think we have to give it some more time as we have learned that this industry is reacting pretty quickly, and we will see simply what is really the turn of the business here now in autumn time. Parallel to this, we have completed next steps in establishing ourselves in the oil and gas market where at the time biggest investment is being affected here on a worldwide level, which is the US oil and gas market. We have published over the last couple of months a couple of partnerships here in the core oil and gas regions, and at the end giving us here direct access to US oil and gas companies. Well, naturally, this is a program under works, but the good news is first orders are in. Even large players like Shell in Texas have placed orders here for EFOYs. But we are talking about an initial step, but still this is being, I'd say, one of our major pursuits here also for the second half of the year, this year, and then ongoing for the next years. Heading on to the industrial part of the business, strongest performer, I would say, in the first half year here amongst our segments in terms of, let's say, overall performance. Our daughter company PBF here was able to deliver the best first half year since its existence, and I think looking a little deeper here, it is also important to see that this growth is stemming from existing customers being simply real sustained and robust demand among the existing customer base, but then at the same time, successful introduction and the first larger orders here for our new modular product platform, especially with customers in the laser industry. 8.3% growth for such an industrial segment is, I think, a considerable value. Being happy about this, we do not want to forget to mention that still segment earnings are impacted, and I think Gerhard will give you more light on this. Earnings are still naturally impacted by some of the startup costs for the new product platforms, be it in R&D, be it in supply chain. Quantities are still, let's say, at the low level, so you don't achieve, let's say, best prices here in the supply chain, and at the same time with a new product you still have to do certain updates and revisions which result into additional R&D expenses. Seeing where we stand here with the project pipeline but also the backlog, we remain very confident to stay on this growth track here in the industrial part of the business. And also, I think we are good for an improvement here on the margins. Besides, let's say, the supply chain, we have been already implementing some pricing measures here on the customer front, and we still continue to do so. Defense and security of a traditional year-end business. If we now look at the numbers here for the first half year here with 4.6 million, roughly 4.6 million revenue, we are down by a million compared to last year. But I mentioned already earlier, within last year's numbers, we have alone 3.6 million for one project here for the German Bundeswehr. Looking at it the other way around, we were able to compensate a big part of this business, especially by international business. It was a communicated and implemented strategy to reduce dependency here from a single customer, and I think we are showing really good steps here. Orders, major orders here from India as well as Israel, but also other smaller orders from other countries really show that we are broadening the customer base. The total portion of the international business, as said, now is above 70%, Well, and I think it's also worthwhile to mention that the international part of the business grew by more than 90% year on year. Still, our key market, and that's naturally also decisive for the year end and for our target, is naturally our home market in Germany. And I think we do not want to miss out on mentioning that we feel it as a big step forward that we were able to secure the first order by a large German defense OEM here for our service-based part of the business. Part of this was already executed now in Q2. The larger part of this approximately 1 million euro order is going to be executed within the upcoming quarters. Clean energy and mobility, strongest sales growth here in this segment, 17% increase here from 4.7 million last year to 5.5 million this year. Besides the mere numbers, I think it is key to see that this is a distribution here across regions, driven by good developments here in the core areas of activity in Europe, means UK, Scandinavia, Germany, initial steps now also in France, and then in Asia, existing markets like Singapore, but then also next orders here from China, and especially good performance here together or nice results out of our collaboration with Toyota Tsusho in Japan. Based on this, our partner has shown significant interest also to broaden the collaboration, and we are in active assessment to, I'd say, broaden this collaboration here with this part of the Toyota Group outside of Japan. Major applications, as before, civilian security applications, as well as the wind industry. Our end consumer business in this segment, I think also there we see that we are starting to reverse the negative trend of the last years. Caravanning and marine both show first growth steps. Also regionally in especially North America, Canada, and the U.S. And I think this is a good basis, A, for the development in the second half of the year of this end consumer business, but naturally relating back to a next product platform being launched next year, I think we are preparing here the ground for a proper start. With this, I think we have looked into the segments, and I would like to hand over to Gerhard to really look into the details of the financial results.
Well, thank you, Peter. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you an overview on our margin and earnings in the first half year 2019, as well as a situation on balance sheet and cash, as we had this capital increase during the first half year, which was completed middle of July. So to give you an update on this. But let's start with the result of the operations. Pete already mentioned that the group achieved sales of 31.1 million in the first half year 19, and there's an improvement of around about 1% from prior year's period with 30.9 million. The second quarter was 14.6 million, was around about 4% higher than prior year's first quarter with 14.1 million. And how was the situation on the individual companies in regards to their revenue? Of course, the segment is most important, but I also take a look at the individual companies. SFC had achieved 10.2 million. This was 2% under last year's revenue with 10.4 million. But as I said before, we have to consider that the so-called year-end business with 3.6 million was included in the defense revenue last year. Without this, of course, it was a part of the results last year, but without this, we would have had a tremendous improvement on SFC side. But anyway, almost flat on SFC. on PBF mentioned before with the 9 million in the first half year 2019. This was the best number PBF ever achieved since being part of the SFC group. This was an 8.3% increase to the 8.3 million in the year before in 2018. So at least quarter two was very successful with 4.7 million. This was the best quarter ever. Looking on Cymaq, considering the economic situation there with the pipelines and this deviation in the prices for the oil and gas, we achieved 11.9 million and or 2.2% under last year's. So I think for this situation, this is an okay result, 11.9. The race goes on, and of course we have to see how the pipeline situation and the economy develops over there. This on the revenue, let's have a look on the gross profit. The gross profit in the first half of 2019 totaled to 10.4 million. This is a margin of 33.5. The year before was 200K more, means 10.6 million or 34.3%. Okay, question, why a lower number in total and on the margin? On the margin, the reason is obvious. We had a lower share of sales generated in German defense and security. At least this was around about 3 million less than last year, and of course we see this in the gross margin. Looking on oil and gas, there was a gross margin of 3.3 compared to 3.6 in the year before. So the margin went down from 29.7% to 27.9%. Reason was that we had higher overheads. Of course, we invested here to be ready for a higher volume once this moves again, and furthermore, lower volume-based rebates from our customers. Of course, everybody takes care and saves his money wherever possible. The good thing is the EFOI business is very stable with a 38 to 39% margin, and this is the highest margin in the Cymaq product portfolio. On industry, same margin as the year before with 29.3 versus 29.4%. And negotiations on customer side with price increases are ongoing. Of course, this is more intensive as you could expect. Everybody wants to earn his money, and we as well. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but I guess we're on a pretty good way here, especially with the high revenue that we generated here. On defense and security, we already mentioned a couple of times now, margin went down from 46.8 to 43.9, caused by this product customer mix. But we all know that the German business is a year-end business. On the other hand, this was compensated, I'm very happy about this, by our segment Clean Energy and Mobility. The margin improved from 39.6 gross to 40% and ended up with 43.4%. So we are on track like we have been in the first quarter. And looking on both segments, which are more or less combined in the company SFC, we had the same margin, 43.6% versus 43.5% in the last year. So we managed to compensate this 3.6 million deal from last year on both on revenue and on margin. Overall, as said, gross margin a little bit under last year, but of course it will be in the focus again. And after we finalize the capital increase, we also have a little bit more time again, because this was a full-time job, we have a little bit more time again to focus on this topic. Let me talk about the earnings performance. And I mainly want to explain the deviations to the prior year. And for this, we need to understand in this context that in the first year of 2019, there was an underlying non-recurring effect of 2.6 million coming from a stock appreciation rights plan. based on the increase of the stock price. The prior year's underlying was 1.1 million, so we had here an impact on the earnings of 1.5 million in total. What I will try this year to the end of the year to bring this into the other costs and not to have it into sales and G&A, because there's always a lot to explain and it doesn't show the correct performance of the individual profit and loss line. So not yet there, I have to discuss with the auditors, just to give you an update on this. Looking on the EBIT, it was minus 2 million coming from plus 0.5 million in the year before. Why was there a reduction of 2.5 million? As said before, 1.5 comes from underlying expense, which were higher in 2019 than in 2018, and 1 million came from a lower operating result, but this was at least planned because we, of course, invested in the future, in the growth, means we have a higher headcount, and it was clear to us that we will have additional costs for that, and this was around about 1 million. And this comes to all the KPIs now I'm talking about. On EBIT underlying, this ended up with plus 0.6 million. The year before, we had 1.6 million. What is the difference? The difference is exactly this 1 million lower operation result I mentioned before. On the EBITDA, this ended up with 0.4 million minus. The year before it was plus 1.1 million. What was the reason for the 1.1 million? The 1.5 million deviation, the reduction was caused by the mentioned 1 million from costs from growth. Then we had minus 1.5 million from underlying, as said before, for stock appreciation rights, plus 1.1 million resulting from IFRS 16. This is this new IFRS where rent and lease turns into depreciation. I think I mentioned this in the call for quarter one. So at least, as said, 1 million minus from gross, 1.5 million minus from underlying result, and plus 1.1 million from IFRS 16. On the underlying EBITDA, it improved, well, let's say from 2.1 million almost stable to 2.2 million, and at least the 1 million plus from IFRS 16 was compensated by the 1 million minus from this gross costs. The net risk, I know it is a little bit weird meanwhile, but so my first thing what I did was to make a schedule how the results developed and what is the reason behind to understand this. The net result reduced from minus 150K to minus 2.6 million, and this was caused by the difference from the stock appreciation rights, 1.5 million between the 2 years, and this 1 million from the operational business. Let me talk about a few other KPIs we always report in this call. The backlog ended up with 11.4 million versus 15.9 we had the year before, but I already see again that the trend is stable or going up again. But of course, this was impacted by the situation in Canada, but we are not too much concerned about this because we know that we also do a lot of business over the counter, and this is never reflected in the backlog. Furthermore, and most important, and this was the work we did in the first half year, the cash we have on our side, the available cash and the cash equivalents amounted at the end of quarter two to around about 5 million. The year before we had I think it was around about 7 million at the beginning of the year from the capital increase we did, and this was in total gross 27 million. We cashed in till end of quarter two the 2.7 million. This was at least the capital, the equity. The other amount, the capital reserve of 24.3 million, this was completed on July 17th, so it doesn't have impact on the figures we show now in the half year's report. but at least the money is in, 27 million, and we also reported in the report that the costs are around about 3 million to get this money in. So everything is completed and mission done so far, but of course the work goes on because we have to work with this money, and Pete already mentioned at least what is the use of proceeds means for hydrogen, for M&A, and also for growth, what you also see here with this 1 million higher costs we had already in the first half year. Looking on the equity ratio, I don't like it, but it is what it is. This IFRS 16, it brought the equity ratio down from 43.3% to 32.8%, so 10% less. At least we had a prolongation in our balance sum, because we show now this right of use for assets means at least we capitalized here an amount of, in total, five million, and this will be depreciated over a period of, sorry, it was 10 million, 9.4 exactly, and this will be depreciated over the next 5 years, so at least an impact of 2 million per year or 1 million per half year. The headcount improved. This is the growth we mentioned before. At the end of June, we had 287 permanent employees. At the end of 2018, we had run about 280 employees, so we're also on a growth path here. And I think these were the most important KPIs I wanted to talk about. And with this, I may hand back to Peter to give you a summary and, of course, most important, an outlook for 2019. Thank you.
Thanks, Gerard. Well, looking at where we stand mid-year, I think we are clearly able and also confident to confirm the existing guidance. We still estimate to end up between 67 and 74 million of revenue, and we also expect a further substantial improvement here of profitability here for the underlying or adjusted EBITDA to range between 4.5 and 7 million and the adjusted EBIT between 3.5 and 6 million. So what is the basis here for this assessment and the confidence? Well, a couple of things, but the key element is we have a usual seasonality in our business, and we have a year-end nature, especially of the defense business here on a national basis. We see a very good overall momentum for the fuel cell business as such, especially in the civilian part of the business, talking about our clean energy and mobility business. Fuel cells are back on the overall agenda. CO2 reduction is a priority here for society, and SFC is one of the first ones to offer products to achieve this, and therefore we expect to capitalize here on these facts. If we look into our project pipeline, defense and security, as well as the civilian part of the business, this is pretty healthy. We do not intend to hide any of the risks. We mentioned already we are cautious in our outlook here for oil and gas, especially for the third quarter, fourth quarter. We will have to reassess going into autumn time. Well, and on the defense and security side, it's still a timing topic, a timing game. Well, this may be as late as October, going into November when we see final decisions here, but the work is being done and we are on top of the topics. If we look into the improvement of the financial performance, well, the simple assessment here is that this is driven by mix and volume. And we have included already this increase of cost here, investments for growth, higher headcount, higher, I'd say, R&D for two new product lines in it. What I want to mention at the end is also that we see real upside in a new part of the business, especially our hydrogen effort here. Our hydrogen undertaking is really gaining momentum, especially in the German market. We have built up together with our partner Adcor a significant project pipeline, and I think we could be good for a surprise here in this area, end of Q3 or Q4 this year. The question which I'd say part of the guidance we finally will hit means the lower end, mid part or upside. This is simply really a function here of timing, and I think we are watching this and working on this on a daily basis, and as soon as we have, let's say, more visibility, we will be happy to share this and be more concrete. With this, I would like to conclude our presentation, hand over back to Sandra, and open up the floor for questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. And our first question comes to the line of Karsten von Blumenthal from First Berlin Equity Research. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Gerhard. My first question is regarding your order backlog, which was down to 11.4 million. Gerhard, you mentioned that you also have some over-the-counter business. Nevertheless, compared to Q1, where it was 13.7, or last year, where it was 15.9 million, it looks certainly, or it is lower. And in the second half of the year, you want to do much more business than in the first half, according to your guidance and the first half results. So could you shed a bit more light on the development perhaps in the last weeks? Perhaps you see already some changes, or the timing of order income, as you already mentioned, you will see probably a lot of orders in Q4 due to a very strong year-end defense business. Perhaps you could elaborate on the order backlog.
Yeah, thank you, Carsten, for this question. Let me walk through the individual segments. On oil and gas, as mentioned before, there we had, this was going down, but as said before, this is the business where we do a lot over the counter, and so also this helps. And of course, we have to stabilize our revenue here. But even having a bigger backlog, this would not help so much now, so we rely more that this comes back in quarter four at least, and helps us to improve the revenue there again. On PBF, there we have a sufficient backlog. I'm not worried about this. Looking on the defense business, defense segment, as said before, this is a year-end business. And once orders come in, this will be at the end of the year. We haven't expected this now to have this in the middle of the year. And on clean energy, we had a good improvement. This was the best from consumer and the industrial part of the clean energy segment. So I'm also not concerned about this. Yeah. I know the figure don't look too good, but of course it's always a figure right in this moment. And I think that we will improve here again. But let's wait how this will develop over the next months and the next quarter.
All right, thanks for this. Perhaps a second question regarding your gross margin. You already commented on it. When I look at on a quarterly basis and on a segment basis, I see that in Q2, oil and gas was relatively weak regarding gross margin. You already explained defense and security because of the international business, which is a bit a lower margin business than national business. Clean energy and mobility was very good, I think, but industry was a bit weaker than last year and also my expectation. Do you see improvement here, especially in the industry business in coming quarters?
In the industry business, we are aware that, as said before, in half year we had exactly the same number as we had the year before. We have these negotiations on customer side, even with the big ones. This is still ongoing, but I hope that we come to an end as soon as possible. Our team at industry segment is aware of this, and once we have this in, I also expect that we have an uplift here at the end of the year.
Yeah. And maybe, Carsten, if I may add here, especially in the second quarter on some of the new projects here with the modular product platform, we had higher costs still related to startup. The one or the other revision here on the product, which was, I'd say, expected, but at the same time also on the supply chain with, let's say, the smaller quantities we are right now still working with or have to work with, as this is an initial business, we are not able to, let's say, fully exploit the cost reduction in the supply chain. And both is expected to go away over the next quarters.
And to add on oil and gas, Carsten, of course, when the revenue is not so strong, you try to sell as much as possible, and sometimes you have to sacrifice a little bit on margin. That's normal business.
Yeah, understood. One last question from my side. I mean, you already mentioned that in a way your figures suffer, of course, from IFRS and the SAR plan. When I have a look at your Q2 cost figures compared to Q1, what strikes me is that sales costs are relatively high and general administration costs are relatively high. Compared to Q1, are there any one-offs or is it just related to the extra costs already mentioned?
This is almost completely has its origin in the stock appreciation rights, which run into sales and G&A. And as I said before, I tried to bring this into other costs, means the line number 4 between gross margin, because it gives a wrong picture. It doesn't fit if this is all included in sales and G&A, which is operational.
Yeah, I think that is a very good idea, and I hope that your auditors agree to this because that would increase transparency for everyone. Yeah, I thank you very much for taking my questions.
Thank you very much, Carsten.
Thank you. Our next question comes to the line of Stefan Klett from Commerzbank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. I have 4 questions. Let's probably take them a bit by bit. First of all, let's go for M&A. You said you're eagerly working on M&A. Can you update us on your plans there? What's the progress there? And what kind of, let's say, targets are you working most eagerly on at the moment?
Absolutely. This is Peter. Good morning, Stefan. We have clearly announced that this is one of the areas where we look for, or we have identified targets also before the capital increase that either allow us to get better market access or help us to, let's say, overcome some protectionist regulatory environment, especially in defense and security. If we talk about the first part, we are talking here about targets that help us to get, let's say, market access to areas like, for example, oil and gas, In the U.S., if we talk about, I'd say, market entry, we're also talking about further penetration here of the hydrogen space. And if we are talking about the overcoming of protectionist legislative environments, our key defense markets we are looking at right now is, I'd say, India as well as the U.S. The state of maturity here, I think, is at the point that overall we think we will be able to conclude the first project here, or the target is to conclude the first project still within this year.
Just one question to that. I mean, the U.S., there's a lot of protectionism by definition, particularly when you talk about defense. I mean, are you not wasting your time because the Trump administration will never say yes to such a transaction, or am I too negative on that one?
Well, I really would think that is a real negative view on it. If I give you a picture, at the end we have to sail under a U.S. flag, and in the early days of the company we were particularly successful because we were selling our product through our shareholder at that time, DuPont, out of Delaware, and we are thinking of, let's say, a way of simply sailing under a U.S. flag in the U.S. market, being through, let's say, a strong collaboration or simply an acquisition.
Yeah, but I understand that. But at the point in time when you were selling in the U.S., there was no U.S. competitive product, which is not the case any longer. So the question will remain, probably the question is, how successful will that be at the end? And I guess we all have to wait what you're basically going to tell us.
Well, I think one point that is maybe not reflecting the reality is that competition was much stronger at that point in time. There were more players in this field. Finally, I think we are down to two of us, and I'd say one being an operation of 12 to 15 people here in California, and the other being, let's say, us. So I think both have advantages. The one is a U.S. organization and the other one a German. So we have to make sure we are able to indigenize our products or part of the value chain as soon as possible. It is a challenge. It is a hurdle. And I do not expect the U.S. project here being the first one to materialize. You're absolutely right. It's the toughest nut to crack, but it's also the biggest one.
Yeah, understood. And what kind of size are we talking about, sales-wise, what you're going to acquire? Probably not enterprise value.
Well, I think at the end, this is limited also by the amount of cash we have available for this. So we are not talking about, let's say, large-sized organizations. As I said, we are looking here for market access, and then want to bring our products into this pipeline. So at the end, a combination of a first acquisitive step and then organic growth.
So, Stefan, the advantage can also be from an acquisition which is at equity.
Yeah. Okay, understood. And then let's move on to my next one. It's both with regard to projects and pipeline. I mean, you said, and well, we all know that your business is very much skewed to the second half of the year, particularly in defense. Can you tell us a little bit about Germany, actually? You said more is coming up, but can you be more precise? Can you give us more details? Because, well, at the moment, it sounds rather like your guidance is rather skewed to the lower, to the midpoint, and rather to the lower at the moment. So the changing factor will be defense and oil and gas. So I wonder what's going on in defense at the moment.
Absolutely. I think here, well, starting off with Germany, well, we have been actively supporting those programs we are in right now for portable systems as well as for dismounted dash vehicle-based systems. What we see right now is that there is an increase in overall confirmed demand. This is something we are, let's say, not able to publicize, but we, let's say, have I think, confirmed information on this, which means we are talking here about a couple of hundred sets here of our Elena set to be supplied to the German forces, and we are talking about, let's say, 500 to 600 sets here for a period of 3 years. The decision-making schedule does not change here with this organization. So we know it is, I'd say, demand confirmed. We now need to wait until this is going into execution, means allocation of funds somewhere in Q3 or early Q4, and then execution on contract.
And don't you see, oh, sorry.
This is the Jenny-based, the portable one. The vehicle-based and dismounted platform here for Emily's. Well, we have been working here also directly with the forces on programs here for vehicle implementation, as well as I'd say, power supplies for portable radar systems. What we see right now is that the confirmed demand has soared up to a number beyond 1,000 units here, again, for the current planning period. But also there, we are again now in the process of execution, and we simply have to make sure that our projects are, let's say, dealt with a certain urgency. Although we are naturally, I'd say, still small projects, and we naturally always face the competition of, let's say, those large armament programs. So it is the day-to-day exercise here to make sure we are visible enough. It's not a question of confirmed demand. It's really now a question of execution. And maybe as the last one to this, there is no other product qualified in either program here. So no other products have all the qualifications.
And you don't see any, I appreciate that, you don't see any hesitation or, let's say, prolongation with a change in the Ministry of Defense, which is going on the top level. So not that we wake up one day and you give a profit warning saying your defense projects are not coming in 2019.
Well, I can naturally not judge this now from, let's say, the outside, what direct impact this has. And I can also not stand here today and say this is 100% confirmation that this is going to be executed. But based on our experience over the last couple of years, but also based on what we see in terms of intensity and urgency here on the procurement side, I think even with the change on top of the ministry, we feel there is now an even bigger pressure to make sure the money that has been allocated now to the defense budget is being spent. I think this will be also one of the KPIs for the new head of the MOD. Is she able to make sure that not only money is allocated, and she's talking about the 2% target here of GDP in terms of NATO targets, but also then really spend it? And the good thing with such small programs like ours, we are talking here about 3-5 million each, we can act quickly. So even if we get an order in October, we can still make sure it is there on the 15th of November, and they can spend the money until the 15th of December or even later. So this I think is a pretty good setup, and that's, I think, the assessment of the environment. And on the international side, to give you the complete picture, well, our team is currently again back in India. We have seen significant RFQs coming out. Last 3-4 years here of investing into this market starts to really bear fruits. We also expect still some impact here from India. Well, we also see in the UK
that we get confirmation here for our vehicle-based EMILI program, whether this is being executed now in Q4. The visibility is not fully there, but this is another, I'd say, a backup program we just delivered to Israel. It seems there's further funds now being made available for emission-free energy sources. And as said before, we are the only ones qualified. And we also see it in some small countries like, I'd say, Switzerland or our initial steps into France, that those projects are started to being funded. So this helps us, again, mitigating this binary risk here of timing on the German side.
Okay, sounds good. And then hydrogen, rather the same question. You're basically, let's say, hinting to more orders, strong product pipeline. So when you talk about the production start in Q3 and then the sales start in Q4, are we still talking about the backup solution to the Bavarian police force? And what else has come into the pipeline until then? Are you still planning with roughly, and that's basically a change to your guidance before, because now you're saying you're going to have sales. In the old guidance, you didn't have included the hydrogen business. So there's a change in the composition, in the guidance, actually, if you think about it. So what's happening there? Tell me.
Well, and starting with your last point here, this is exactly where we started off. So when really building this up here, we were definitely cautious and did not build I'd say sales, or did not assume sales revenues already for 2019. The project is definitely faster than anticipated, even on the production side, where we are now, I think, good to get the first batch put together in September. And what we see right now and what we, I think, can share and release is that especially the telecom, the digital telecom program here in Germany, and this is not limited to one province here, the one we are located in, is accelerating and getting speed faster than expected. So we really see a good chance to get first orders in here within a Q4 timeframe, and even then also execute on shipments, which was not part of the planning before, not part of our overall planning, and therefore I think that's an upside. As I mentioned, we still have risk on the defense side, but we still also see that the upside here on the hydrogen side is materializing, and this could be also within the next couple of weeks.
And can you quantify in a best case scenario what kind of sales you could expect? I think in my model I have 1 million so far. What are you thinking of, or are you willing to share that?
Well, I think this is really, let's say, still, if we wanna again create a picture, a thin ice here. But the project pipeline we're working here on together with Adcore is more in a order of magnitude of what we had in our three-year planning.
Yep.
But we need to simply see how fast are, again, government organizations now executing on the procurement side.
So we're talking about a low double-digit million figure at the moment, what your pipeline, the contract you're looking at.
Well, there's still a range in there because those contracts, the tenders, had still a big range in there. And so therefore, I think you have to give us maybe a month or 6 weeks more time to be more precise here.
Okay, fine. And then, well, you said you need time until the third quarter to see where you end up in the guidance ultimately, to have more visibility. But the change factors we discussed, so for you the change factors are on the one hand defense and the magnitude of defense, then oil and gas in Q4, and then at the end it's hydrogen.
Exactly.
But would you agree that you at the moment rather looking if are proceeding as they did, and not surprised to the positive, we're rather looking at the lower end of your lower range of your guidance at the moment.
I think that is not fully accurate, because we are still working on a number of defense projects here that have the size and the can materialize, and then also the upper end of the guidance is not, let's say, out of reach.
Yeah, okay.
It is unfortunately always the same game here in August, September, and October to simply make sure we I'd say, one of the fast runners in execution.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes to the line of Anne-Margaret Graff from Addison Group. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. I have a more high-level question, which is exploring the move into offering hydrogen fuel cells for telecommunications applications. Because putting this in perspective, other companies have attempted to do this, and not very successfully. I think Heliocentris did, Ballard tried to and pulled out, and now focus on mobility applications. And Intelligent Energy spent a lot of money trying to build up a business in that sector and failed quite spectacularly. So I was wondering, what is different for you? Is it the market? Is it your technology? Or is it your approach? In that the structure of the company is a bit different as well. You've got other power products that you can offer as well as the fuel cells.
Well, good morning, and thank you for the question. And I think it's clear, everybody, well, and I've been in this business for quite some time, and I've been fully resisting to go into telecoms for 10-plus years, because we felt our methanol-based product, A, was not the right solution for the level of power that is needed for a BTS station here in the telecoms part, and so the price performance of our product was simply not competitive enough. What we do right now is that, yeah, well, we have seen our colleagues here, be it IE or Heliocentris, Future E, and Ballard, not being successful in this field. I think it is a question of overall timing. There has been a tremendous competition in this field, that people were offering their products even on marginal cost, be it in mature markets like Germany, or then, let's say, rather I'd say exotic markets, where we saw then people going to Myanmar, going to sub-Saharan Africa, where naturally the grid is weaker, and therefore the product has a better value proposition and a better case. But at the end, here in the developed markets, the operators didn't have the pressure to really invest into a so-called risky new technology, because the downtime simply was not, let's say, such an issue. And in those, I call it exotic markets, there was naturally a pressure to have a reliable backup power, but I think the challenge for people was to get the money back for the product supplied. The overall change right now that we are seeing is there is such a pressure to replace conventional backup power sources, diesel generators, simply from an emission point of view. Decarbonization and CO2 reduction gets on the agenda. And just talking about this German program that Stefan just mentioned before, it is the first time that there is also an incentive, a government incentive granted to government organizations here in Germany to replace diesel backup solutions by fuel cell backup solutions, because of reducing emissions. and the differential between the price of the diesel solution to the fuel cell solution is covered by the subsidy. So we are really entering into, I'd say, a new environment here, and the market is simply more receptive. Talking about the product, from the beginning, we have not hidden the fact that we have simply taken over, together with Ardcore here, the former Future E, Heliocentris, and B21 technology. And naturally, we add on our expertise in productization, in let's say, making a product more robust, especially our defense and oil and gas expertise helps us here. And in addition, we have always supported a hybrid and a system product strategy, means not only selling the fuel cell, but selling a fully integrated system. And I think there we have a good differentiation here. So it's market timing and overall macro environment changing, therefore governments really press for those clean solutions. And at the same time, I think taking 30 years of fuel cell development here of three players in this field and mature them and improve them with our expertise is the combination we are offering.
Right, that's very powerful. Yes, thank you. And does your experience of selling other products, the power supply products, is this helping in the work securing telecoms contracts?
In power management and on the electronic side, helps us, especially for also then the next generation of products where we, let's say, already have kicked off the project here of integrating our own expertise. Selling fuel cells as hybrid systems to industrial customers, to government customers, as well as consumers, I think helps us simply in general, but it's not driven only by the power supply expertise. This is more a technical and technological edge here.
Right. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions registered at the moment, I will return the word to our speakers for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. So thanks, everybody, for taking the time and naturally also for the interest in SFC. As always, there's the standing offer here to all of you for further bilateral and more detailed discussions. Please do not hesitate to get back to us for a call and a discussion. With this, I would like to close out here and wish you all an excellent day. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.